Hello and welcome to the Brutal Arm Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 795, the topic is Q&A, and the title is Quick Answers to Common Questions. In the past, I have taught community nutrition classes more often than I do now. I was just had a little more openness in my schedule, and I was kind of making myself more voluntarily available for community outreach. Not that I don't want to help people now, and I'm hopefully recognized by listening to a daily podcast that has almost 800 podcasts that I don't mind helping people. It's just now I'm a little more protective of my time. I have to kind of use smaller windows to give back to people because of how much other stuff I do. And I enjoy it. I love it, but just change of how to work over time. So as the business grows, I have to change with it and grow with it. So the community outreach options and things have kind of taken a little sidestep as I'm working on some other things. Actually, I was talking recently. I have taught, done like personal trainer education courses at big kind of commercial gyms for personal training directors that have like a staff, and I've gone and taught them various things, whether it's rehab recovery methods, kind of things like that, injury prevention methods, whether it was nutrition, whether it was programming structures. I've enjoyed it. I loved it, and I'm preparing to do it again for someone, and I was looking through some old notes. I came across an old Q&A sheet I had from one of the times I had taught a community nutrition class, and I thought it would just be a quick little fun thing to go through in a podcast. What were their common questions? What were the answers? Just kind of short and sweet. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's helpful. Let's just blitz through it and we'll expand where we need. And if you like this format, just shoot us in some more questions and we'll kind of create another podcast like this. Okay, so first question we had was cardio. Should the person do it pre-workout or post-workout? And what they were asking for in regards to weight training. Do they lift weights first and then do cardio? Or do they do cardio first and then lift weights? Well, there's pros and cons either way. So if performance during weight training is your maximal goal, then cardio should be done afterwards. So if your main intent in weight training is the quality of what you do, the outcome of what you do, the performance of what you do, then you don't do cardio first because that's just going to wear you out. Okay? It's going to take something away from your best abilities. Now, this would be assuming you did cardio that was worth doing. If you're just doing a 3 to 5 minute warm-up, that doesn't count. So what we're talking to here in regards to cardio is something that's, you know, big effort. It's going to wear you down. So you don't do that before you lift weights if lifting weights is the main goal of your kind of health and fitness journey. So what happens if your performance is cardio-based? So you are marking yourself in progress based on your cardio. Well, then hell yeah, you do the cardio before you lift weights. So I know this sounds like common sense, but people get kind of their own rationales for why they'll be confused in different ways. So sometimes people will be confused and they'll think they have to do cardio first because it's best for blah, 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 blah reason whenever weight training is actually their biggest goal. So don't get caught up in kind of external details. It just makes sense. If my performance during weight training is most important, cardio afterwards. If performance during the cardio, how well I do the cardio or a marker in the cardio is most important, do the cardio first. What about pure fat loss? There's pros and cons, but research has shown that if you do cardio before weight training, that can help kind of burn up some glycogen during the cardio, and it helps the weight training become more fat loss oriented since you have the easier fuels to use already chewed up through the cardio. So they'll recommend, especially females, that they do cardio first. It's usually not steady state cardio. They usually recommend some kind of interval-based cardio, so kind of intensities, varying intensities. So you can think of this as like high-intensity interval training, so HIIT training, series of like sprints and walks and things like that. So sometimes I'll have somebody go for a minute on a step meal as aggressive as they can, then they go at a medium pace for a minute, and they switch back and forth for 10 minutes. That'll wear you out. And then they would go into weight training because the weight training is just a goal of muscle annoyance, muscle shaping. We don't really care how much they lift. So that would be a better structure to do it that way. Okay. Make progress while still enjoying bad foods. Can you make progress while still enjoying bad foods? Yeah. You just have to earn them. So in the sense that you're doing activities that counter the added calories. So if I'm doing exercise that burns 500 calories a day, and then I have bad foods that can add up to 500 calories a day, so yeah, they kind of wash each other out. So if I want to make progress, I'll just make sure that my activity is greater than the bad foods. Okay. Also, you can do strategies of keeping it to a single meal. So maybe you say no all week, but you let yourself have one fun meal on the weekend. That's a way to still make progress while still allowing yourself to eat some bad foods every now and then. So you can also use fun food as motivation. So if I eat well all week and I get my target number of meals, on point, then I get to have a fun meal on the weekend. Again, the whole idea is that what you're doing well outweighs what you're not doing well. So if you want to have bad food, you better have some good effort somewhere else. Okay? Good foods versus bad foods. What defines something as good? What defines something as bad? Really depends on where a person starts. I've actually helped a client lose 30 pounds eating just McDonald's. So he ate McDonald's on the way to work, he ate McDonald's at work, he ate McDonald's on the way home from work. He had a special needs child, and he was a single parent, and he was overwhelmed and just needed something. He needed a lifeline. So rather than spending time prepping food, cooking food, all those things, I just helped him lose 30 pounds so he could at least get his blood pressure under control. And I would love to tell you that it led to him, then living an amazing lifestyle, and all of a sudden he's eating, grilled chicken and, all these other healthy things. He's not. He's still eating McDonald's, but he's kept the weight off, and he does have better blood work. He has also started exercising in the morning with his son. I'm not sure what the son does, but he said that whatever the son is doing in their home gym, it allows him to be able to work out as well. So for him, a good food was just other options on a McDonald's menu. For other people, if they're getting ready for, say, like a bodybuilding competition, there's nothing on the McDonald's menu other than maybe the apples that come with the Happy Meals, but there's not much that they can choose from. So pretty much nothing from McDonald's would be a good meal or a good food, if that makes sense. So really, what's good or bad for you depends on where you're starting. It also depends on the amount. So if I have, 500 calorie window in my day and I want to fit, 400 calories of ice cream, I'm still going to be in a deficit. I'm still going to lose weight. So that can still be a good thing for me. Whereas if I have, organic, grass fed, whatever the hell, beef, but I have, a 12-ounce portion and it's a shit ton of calories and I don't have those calories allocated for, then I am going to gain weight. So it really it depends more so on where you are in your journey and how much of it you have, not always what it is. Okay. Some extra notes there I have is generally natural things are going to be better for you, and to also trust your instincts. Typically, we know what's good or bad. So if we get rid of rationalization and we go with our original gut feel, we will know. Most likely, we will know whether something was good or bad. Okay. How to eat healthy with a crazy schedule. Do you have to put in some effort to make that happen? Yes. So don't expect things to be super easy. Don't expect, I just get to do this and then never have to put work in again. Not gonna happen. So you got to find quick foods at quick times so that we can get food in. So, for example, you don't go all day without food because you deemed yourself to be too busy to eat. That's stupid. That's jackassery-ness. So don't be a jackass. If you don't eat, you won't be healthy regardless of what the reason was that you didn't eat. Our body doesn't give a shit why you didn't eat. It just knows that you didn't, and it reacts accordingly. So make sure you eat by getting something in. It doesn't even really matter what it is. Just get some calories in your face. Find non-refrigerated options. Those tend to help when you're busy. Also, we want to find options that are kind of quick and easy to eat, quick and easy to prepare. So a couple options I have is I have a bag of cashews I eat. Typically throughout the day, you just rip the top off. Start eating, done. I'll drink a lot of my calories as well. My main goal is getting enough calories in at 280 pounds, so I don't have to worry so much about the what of what I eat, other than how it makes me feel and digestion health and stuff like that. I just have to get some calories in my face. So if I drink a half a gallon of milk a day, that's not going to hurt me in any way. But for other people, if they're trying to limit calories, liquid calories can be very difficult because they don't register as whole food calories. They don't satiate as well. So you would want to actually avoid liquid calories. But the idea is just, can you eat healthy with a crazy schedule? Yes. You have to reprioritize what's important. You can stop whatever you're doing for 5 minutes, put some food in your face. You can find quick, easy options. There are ways to do it. Yes. Okay. Does old age affect nutrition? Not really. You're typically not going to be as hungry as you get older. Our ability to taste food becomes lessened, so food isn't as exciting. Also, if you have less activity, you're less hungry. If you have less muscle mass, you're less hungry. So if those things are going down for you, then you are going to have less hunger. But other than that, does being older affect the way our body, say, processes a banana or processes food? Yes, there are small degrees, but they're more so related to side effects of old age rather than old age, meaning that if I am less active, if I do have less muscle mass, then my overall metabolism is lower, my need for calories is lower, so therefore I won't be able to eat as much. I would feel like I gain weight from more food than what I used to when I was younger. That's, again, just more so due to a lifestyle change. So I know tons of people in their 50s and 60s, they eat everything under the sun because they're busy as hell and they lift weights and they're super active. So really it comes down to lifestyle more so than age. There just tends to be some typical reactions to age in regards to lifestyle. So that's why it can seem like age is the problem when it's actually just the lifestyle change that's the problem. How hard is it to stay there versus get there, and there as in like a person's goals? So what you have to do to get to a certain accomplishment or health level isn't the effort that you'll have to do to stay there. So once you get somewhere, it is easier to stay there. So the habits of getting there are progressive habits. The habits of staying there are maintenance-based habits. So if you're trying to get somewhere and you're like, oh my God, I could never keep doing this for the rest of my life, you won't have to. Don't worry about that. Once you get there, you can then modify your efforts, and it takes less effort to stay there. So it's good for us to be aware of that. And it can be motivating in the sense that knowing if I kick my ass now to get there, I don't have to keep kicking my ass this much. I can have some degree of lessening of intensity, and that's true. So it is easier to stay than it is to get to a place. Okay. Can you lose weight? Can you lose body fat while maintaining strength? Hell yeah, absolutely. So strength is related mostly to nervous system. It is related to like muscle mass, but if we talk about our goal of losing weight as in what typically most people mean is fat loss. So they actually want to lose fat, not weight. They associate weight going down if they're losing fat, which isn't always the case at all. You can be gaining muscle mass and losing fat at the same time and actually not have your weight change at all, but you're improving body composition. But can you still maintain strength? Yes. You just have to continue to lift heavy. You have to continue to eat adequate enough calories post-workout to keep up with the body adaptations and changes that are needed for strength development. You would just then eat less calories away from the workouts to create the deficit you need for fat loss. So can you get stronger or can you maintain strength while losing weight? Yes, 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 yes. Sometimes people will disagree with that. They'll say, oh, when I lost weight, I got weaker, blah, 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 blah. Typically what happens is they lost leverages. They lost counterweights. They lost good positions. So if somebody has a big belly at the bottom of the squat, their belly might press into their thighs, and that can give them a sense of stability. Whereas when the belly's gone, all of a sudden they don't have that stability. They have to relearn how to find stable bracing through their core muscles now in a different way. So sometimes loss of weight, loss of girth can change our positionings and our leverages, and we just have to relearn how to use the strength we already have So that's where they'll see it or feel it as a strength loss when it's actually just having to learn it in a new way. Okay. Next question we have is intermittent fasting a good idea? Not really. We already fast while we sleep. So if we typically try to eat within, say, a 16-hour window every day, then we go to sleep for 8 hours. So we're already kind of doing some degree of like an intermittent fasting in the sense to where we're not eating during certain portions of the day. But that's going to be related to times when we're least active. So when I'm most active, I should eat most. When I'm least active, I should eat less. That's just a good general theme of how the body works. So if I'm active during the day and I don't eat anything, then I try to eat all my calories I need between, say, 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. Can I control body weight doing that? Yes. If your overall caloric intake per 24 hours is lower than your overall caloric usage, you will lose weight. You will lose fat. But you'll also lose muscle mass. You'll feel like shit all the time. You'll have no energy levels. You need a ton of caffeine. So there's going to be a lot of kind of downsides to the way in which that diet is experienced, not necessarily the results you seek from it. So diets can be more comfortable if we follow the way the body actually works, which is eating more when we move more, eating less when we move less. So the next thing we have is, does if it fits your macro diets work? Yes, in regards to body weight control. Same thing as intermittent fasting is if I don't also pay attention to other components, such as the amount of protein versus carbs and fats, such as meal timing and meal frequency. I can reach my goal in regards to like weight change, but I might feel more miserable during the process than I needed to be because those other elements weren't in place. So if it fits your macros does work. There are some modifications I make to it when I have clients track themselves. So we still account for meal timing and we still account for the amount of calories per meal based on activity level. When you add those components into a typical if it fits your macro style diet, people have a lot more success with that. Okay. Let's see here. We'll go down through. Somebody says, question about nutrition related to joint pain. Is there anything they can do nutrition wise to lessen joint pain? Absolutely. Eat less acidic food. Acidic foods can cause inflammation. So therefore, if you have some arthritis or related issues like that, like rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto's disease, things like that, that eating less acidic food does help quite a bit. So some common acidic foods that we'd want to like adjust or reduce would be fruits, fruit juices, white carb or sugar-based carb sources, even dairy products like milk, yogurt, and also processed meats often have like a sodium solution that can cause issues as well with joint pain. So there is a lot you can do nutritionally to reduce joint pain, and that would typically be staying away from acidic foods. Okay. And then the last one we have is nutrition and blood pressure. Is it true that salt in food will make my blood pressure increase? Not always. So the last study I read said only about 50%, actually slightly under 50% of people are actually sodium sensitive when it comes to blood pressure. So I, for one, for example, am somebody I can eat a high sodium food and it doesn't really change my blood pressure at all. However, I know other people that if they salt their foods, they're going to blood pressure is going to go sky high. So it kind of depends on your individual need for this answer is if you notice that when you salt your food, your blood pressure goes up, then yes, you need to be careful with yourself. You need to watch processed foods or foods made by other people and ensure that they don't have a high degree of sodium in them. You can get nutrition fact labels. You can look them up on restaurant lists and stuff like that now. So is it something that affects everybody? No, it is not. But you would want to check to make sure if whether it affects you before you just go hog wild and eat a bunch of sodium. So hopefully this was helpful, kind of like real quick answers. If anybody wants to submit some quick answers, quick questions, we'll make another podcast like this and we'll kind of just go through some more information. So hopefully these things are helpful, just kind of fun to answer questions, fun to give back to people. So if you need anything at all, again, that's what this podcast is for. Just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to know, and then we'll let you know. Okay? Also, we are offering free consultations. So if anybody wants a free consultation, we're setting up 30 to 60 minute, somewhere in that time frame, consultations. We're going to do it on Zoom and or a phone call. And we record it via podcast, just auditory recording, so you can be anonymous if you want. We just discuss what you're struggling with. We discuss how to fix it, and we do it so that way everybody else can hear and learn from it as well. So if you'd like to participate in that, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. You can also check out our other services we have at our website at www.brutalirongym.com. So thank you for listening to this podcast. If you think it is helpful in any way, please share it with everybody you know. You can share it on social media, you can share it in email, text message, conversation, however you need. But the more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help get access to healthy and happy information. Okay. And if you have any other questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd always love to hear from you. Like we say, the podcast is for you. Just email us anything you want to know, brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the information we present in these podcasts, you can always find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. So thank you. That's all the information. Hopefully it was helpful. Just always reach out if there's anything you need. So as always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.